Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. The time is 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Walt Sperling with Raven News. A man was medevaced from Sitka to Seattle yesterday after sustaining injuries in a pneumonia leak aboard a processing vessel. The boat was tied to the dock at Sitka Sound Seafoods at the time, causing the evacuation of more than 150 employees at the seafood processor and a voluntary evacuation from the rest of Sitka's waterfront. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
With supervisors pointing the way, employees streamed from Sitka Sound Seafoods on Monday morning, many still wearing the blue helmets they use inside the plant. Desi Barmore was among them.
Because the leak is coming out towards the street now, so we have to go upwind from the ammonia.
Barmore and about 150 of his coworkers wound up in the parking lot at A&B Harbor a couple of blocks away. Workers in neighboring office buildings also evacuated, including at the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Police shut down Catlian Street for about an hour, turning away pedestrians and motorists headed toward the plant. The evacuation came after firefighters responded to a call for help around 11:15 a.m. Dave Miller is the Sitka fire chief.
We got a 911 call at about that time that said there's a man down at the end of the Sitka Sound Seafood dock for an unknown reason. We responded down there, and there definitely was a man down at the end of the dock, and there was a strong ammonia smell all over the dock at that time, right where he was at.
Miller said variable winds at the time of the incident complicated things.
The wind was blowing in different areas, you know, it was to the south, to the west, to the east, to the west, and back and forth. And one of the times when it was not covering the sky initially, we were able to go in and get him and get him out of there real fast.
Responders loaded the man, who was not identified, onto another boat to get him away from the ammonia. He was then taken to Sitka Community Hospital and later medevaced to Seattle. One other person wound up at Community complaining of ammonia exposure symptoms. Miller says another two went to Search Mount Edgecombe Hospital for the same thing. The ammonia leak was quickly contained, but the odor was noticeable up and down Catlian Street and in portions of Sitka's downtown area. Sitka Sound Seafoods manager Tim Ryan refused to comment to KCAW and referred us instead to the company's corporate office in Seattle. A message left there was not returned as of our deadline. The vessel with the leak, the Eagle B, was towed away from town to allow the ammonia to dissipate. The Eagle B is an 86-foot tender vessel registered out of Auburn, Washington. With help from Eric Newman, this is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
The Sawmill Cove Board of Directors wants to spend some unused transportation funding on a feasibility study for a marine services center. Gary White, Sawmill Cove Executive Director, says the city has about $460,000 in federal transportation money available to spend at the park, but a shortage of qualified projects, such as sidewalks, to spend it on. White says a Marine Services Center feasibility study is eligible for funding, and he says both Wrangell and Cordova procured major studies before building their facilities.
So we're following two successful models, and we're trying to walk down that same path and see if what will work for us. But kind of one of the kickers that we've thrown in, that we put in there, is that, you know, we already have an operational boat haul out here. How do we work with them? What are the synergies? And what are the synergies around the region so we're not all competing for that same finite number of vessels? Can we differentiate ourselves? What's our niche here? How can we be successful?
Northern Economics, the Anchorage-based consulting firm which prepared the studies for Wrangell and Cordova, has drafted a 37-page scoping document which outlines the extent of the proposed Sitka study. White says his board is asking the assembly to allocate $172,000 to begin work on the first phase of the study, which will examine the feasibility of a large vessel haulout, commercial vessel moorage, and how a deep water dock might mesh with other uses in the park. Several years ago, Sawmill Cove issued a request for proposals from private developers for a similar project. Only one company responded, and their ideas proved to be too costly for the city. But White says the basic need to expand services in Sitka has not changed.
Through this process, we had also had talked to Stan Lyson, the harbor master, and he was telling us that a lot of these tender boats that come up for herring and salmon are kind of wondering why they're traveling back to Seattle all the time when they're doing a majority of their work here. The reason was because they had no place to get work done in Sitka. Our harbor, our existing haulout isn't large enough to take on anything over 88 tons.
The previous plan for a Marine Services Center at Sawmill Cove called for a haulout with a capacity of 600 tons. The Sitka Assembly is scheduled to look at the Sawmill Cove Marine Services feasibility study at its next regular meeting. Today, you can view the initial scoping document from Northern Economics at our website, kcaw.org. The future of a downtown Sitka pedestrian mall will be on the Assembly table tonight. At their regular meeting this evening, Assembly members are expected to discuss a plan to close part of Lincoln Street to vehicle traffic for a series of Wednesdays this summer. The plan was developed by a group of community volunteers hoping to improve the look and feel of Sitka's downtown. The first closure, which happened June 12th, included a performance by the New Archangel Dancers and a shopping area open on Sitka's main downtown thoroughfare. Some retailers in the zone said they liked it, but not everyone was a fan. Those with shops outside the closed street said business was drawn away from their storefronts. There also were complaints about the redirection of traffic. Interim Municipal Administrator Jay Sweeney called a halt to the street closures until the Assembly could have a discussion. Tonight's meeting also could include the approval of a $2.7 million contract with Transpac Marinas to replace the floats at A and B Harbor. The Seattle area company's bid came in below engineering estimates. The company has built harbor floats for Chignik, Seward, and King Cove, among other Alaska communities. And finally tonight, the Assembly is expected to meet in executive session to discuss approving contracts with the two unions representing police officers and general city employees. The meeting begins at 5 p.m. with a work session on the benchlands. Raven Radio will provide live coverage of the regular session beginning at 6 p.m. Thousands of people attended Juneau's 23rd annual Gold Rush Days in Savaco Park in Douglas, including some of the best logging competitors in Southeast. Lisa Fu was at the event and has this story.
Aaliyah Oyen has been competing in Gold Rush Days for 17 years. Haines resident Ashley Sage has been competing in logging competitions for 30 years. Together, they make up the seventh pair in the women's team handbucking contest on Sunday morning.
Ashley Sage, Aaliyah Oyen.
Ready? Go!
This contest involves a two-man cross-cut M-tooth saw, otherwise known as a racing saw. Most of these types come from a company in New Zealand. They cost over $1,000, and once you order one, it can take up to a year to get. People don't buy this saw for logging.
There are some people that are just diehard competitors in this, and, you know, the best way to keep an edge on everybody is practice, practice, practice.
That's Jesse Hay. He's off to the side watching, waiting for his turn to compete later on. Hay owns three saws, but doesn't have an M-tooth race saw yet. He says it's in the budget.
Both me and the wife are competing, so it's an investment.
Hay has been helping out with Gold Rush Day since 1992 and started competing 10 years ago. His wife, Anya, has been competing for four. Together, they've racked up substantial prize money in the past, and they're hoping for the same this year.
You never know who's going to show up. Some years it's a little lean on competitors, and other years there's a bunch of them. So it's a luck of the draw and a lot of skill and a little bit of preparation.
According to Gold Rush Commission member Jerry Harmon, this year's competition is stiff.
We have guys here that compete on the national circuit. They're around. I see them here today. They come and go. They'll compete for a while. Prize money's pretty good this year, so they're probably over here trying to get some of that, and they will.
But Gold Rush Days isn't just about the money. It's a celebration of mining and logging and of the people who do this work.
We let people know that we have families. We drive cars, we fish, we cry, we laugh. We're just like anybody else, and it's our job to mine and log.
Back at the women's team handbucking contest. Oyen and Sage cut through a 13-inch log in 23 seconds. They get first place. Their secret?
Experience and just go like heck.
That's Oyen. Sage says it's about getting the right rhythm.
Back and forth, then faster, 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 and hopefully it's over real soon.
As first place winners in this event, Oyen and Sage will share a prize of $150. And that's just from one contest. There are six more logging events in the day, and Oyen is competing in all of them. If Gold Rush Days doesn't fulfill everyone's thirst for winning, there's always next month's logging competition in Haines. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
The organizers of a ballot initiative to raise the minimum wage in Alaska have been given the go-ahead to begin collecting signatures. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell on Monday certified the initiative and informed the chief sponsor, former State Labor Commissioner Ed Flanagan. Organizers will have 1 year to gather the more than 30,000 signatures required to qualify the measure for the ballot. The initiative would increase Alaska's minimum wage to $8.75 as of January 1, 2015, then $9.75 as of January 1, 2016. After that, it will be adjusted for inflation, but always be $1 higher than the federal minimum wage. Current law sets the Alaska minimum wage at 50 cents higher than the federal minimum wage, meaning it's at $7.75 now. Checking in with our local weather, tonight mostly cloudy, chance of rain with highs around 65 degrees, and tonight rain is forecast with lows around 54 degrees. That's Raven News for this hour. Stay tuned for news from NPR coming up next.